from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning in our opening hour, first we take up Assembly Bill 711, which passed and is about the banning of the use of lead ammunition to protect the California condor and make California the first state to enact a nationwide ban. We'll hear from both sides. Then in the second half of the opening hour, should we name the western span of the Bay Bridge after former San Francisco mayor and California Assembly Speaker Willie Brown? The Assembly passed that as well, and it is on its way to the Senate. Join us for this morning's opening forum hour as we discuss both issues after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's forum program. Once hunted to the brink of extinction, California condors are beginning to make a steady recovery. 30 years ago, there were only 20 of the birds in the wild. Now, there are over 200. But biologists say this growing population of condors is facing a new threat. They're being poisoned by lead bullets they sometimes ingest when eating dead animals killed by hunters. And the California legislature has approved a bill banning hunters from using lead-based ammunition. But critics, including hunting groups and the National Rifle Association, say the lead is likely coming from sources other than bullets and that using bullets made with other metals may create more problems than it solves. We'll discuss the legislation in this first half hour, which is awaiting action by Governor Brown. Joining us from Sacramento is Jennifer Fearing. She is California State Director of the Humane Society of the United States. Welcome, Jennifer Fearing.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning to you. We'll also say good morning to Don Saba, who's joining us from Arlington, Virginia this morning, a chemist and executive director of Sierra Bio Research and a board member of the National Rifle Association. Welcome, Don Saba.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Let me begin, if I may, Jennifer Fearing, with you. This is looking, even though it's gone through the legislature, to be a real battle royal, spearheaded on your side by not only the Humane Society, but Audubon to California and Defenders of Wildlife and the NRA in opposition. 35 states now, and California previously required certain areas to ban lead ammunition. Why does this have to be statewide, which would make it the first state in the nation to be statewide?
Right. Well, because the California condor is not the only wild species that falls prey to spent lead ammunition that's left behind in carcasses that hunters leave in the field. There are more than 130 wild species that spent lead ammunition poses a risk to, including protected species like golden eagles, but also bald eagles, ravens, turkey vultures, and mammals like pumas. So it's essential that since we know that lead is a toxicant, we've known that for decades, and we also know that it's the largest unregulated source of lead being emitted to the environment is coming from this ammunition, it's time that California phase in this requirement.
Well, let me go to Don Saba on this. There is about 3,000 pounds of lead actually going into the environment each year, Don Saba, and there is a sense of not only its toxicity, it's been banned from house paints and phased out of gasoline back in the 1970s, but that it's killing a lot of birds.
Well, no, actually it's not killing a lot of birds. First of all, lead in ammunition, the metallic lead in ammunition, is not the same thing as the highly toxic lead that's in paints and in old gasoline and other agricultural pesticides. The lead in ammunition is completely different. And in fact, it's very, very difficult to poison wildlife when you feed them lead. I've got published feeding studies in front of me here where the researchers have actually fed, for instance, turkey vultures, for instance, condors, they have actually fed lead with food over a period of like 150 days before they could actually induce a poisoning. It's very difficult when you feed lead, metallic lead. On the other hand, there are so many other sources of lead in the environment that do cause lead poisoning. For instance, old lead paint. We've actually got photographs of condors pecking away at flaking lead paint on old buildings in the forest.
Well, you've also got, mining waste and micro trash and nuts and bolts and all kinds of coins even. But Jennifer Fearing, this argument that this is not the same kind of lead and that some birds are actually eating the lead that's in ammunitions, you say what to that?
Well, I'd say that the pictures I think Dr. Saab is referring to are from an incident in Pinnacles National Park that was addressed, that paint situation was addressed. And again, I will just point back to the fact that there are 30 leading toxicologists and scientists in the country from places that you might have heard of, like Harvard, Cornell, the University of California, and Mount Sinai, who have documented and published research in refereed academic journals that conclude that no rational deliberation about the use of lead-based ammunition can ignore the overwhelming evidence of the toxic effects of lead, or that the discharge of lead bullets and shot into the environment poses significant risks of lead exposure to humans and wildlife.
I'm wondering, Dr. Saab, from your standpoint, non-lead hunting ammunition is totally available from top manufacturers. The argument is it doesn't function any differently for hunters. Why not simply allow that? What's the advantage of having lead ammunition?
Well, the non-lead ammunition is not totally equivalent. It's not at all equivalent because, well, from a number of standpoints, lead is much more dense than copper or some of the other metals used to make bullets, for instance. The twist in the rifling of a firearm is set up to handle and to stabilize highly dense bullets like lead, so the less dense bullets do not perform as well long range. Not only that, a lot of the new ammunition, for instance, steel shot, is a danger when you shoot steel shot in an upland game situation. Normally, when you shoot steel shot up in the air at waterfowl, it's not a problem, but when you shoot steel shot horizontally, it bounces off rocks, you can create sparks, but more importantly, you create ricochets, and they bounce back in your face. Any kid who shot a BB gun when he was a kid knows what happens when you shoot a BB gun against a wall or against a tree stump. It comes back and hits you in the face. It's dangerous. So there are a number of reasons why.
And you believe, if I may, that this is an anti-hunting agenda that is pushing this legislation here?
Well, I do. You know, here's why. We know, we have evidence that animals are being poisoned, particularly condors, because they're the sentinel species. We have evidence they're being poisoned, not by lead ammunition, but by other things. And yet, the proponents of the lead ban are saying, oh no, it's just lead ammunition. And so we passed a lead ban. Remember AB 821, which was passed in 2007? They passed a ban on lead ammunition over 5 years ago. And they said, well, we have to ban lead ammunition because the condor is being poisoned. We got to do it right now. It's an emergency. Well, 5 years later, there's no abatement in lead poisoning. We've got more condors dying now from lead, even though 99% of tens of thousands of hunters are using non-lead ammunition in the condor country, and yet we continually get more and more and more condor poisonings going on, more than there were in the previous year by a little bit each year, and more deaths.
I thought, though, Jennifer Fearing, maybe you can clear this up from your perspective, that since AB 821, there are more condors alive now. Those were specifically, I mean, that is, legislation was specifically for condor areas.
There certainly are more condors alive and flying free since 2007. There are 400 estimated to be in the wild now, but they do continue to need significant human intervention to protect them from ongoing non-compliance, both with that previous law and also the fact that that law was limited to big game and coyote. And what this bill would do is actually require the use of lead-free ammunition in the condor zone and throughout the rest of California for the taking of all wild animals.
I want to offer the listeners an opportunity to weigh in here. In fact, I know there's some strong feelings both sides, as you can hear from the debate we're having between Jennifer Fearing and Dr. Don Saba. And indeed, our phone lines are available to you, so feel free to join us. This is only a half-hour segment, so if you have something you'd like to bring into the conversation, do it now. Our toll-free number is 866-733-6786, and you can join the program, and we welcome your calls. Again, toll-free from wherever you're listening or however, radio, internet, or satellite. Feel free to join us at 866-733-6786. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or post any of your questions or comments onto our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. And you can also tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. We're talking about the proposed ban on lead bullets aiming to protect California condors and really many other birds as well and wildlife. And Don Saba, we heard about all this study and research from Jennifer Fearing from Harvard and Cornell and the like. And I wonder, because I know the NRA has been talking about Fish and Game, saying that some of the science is questionable and you feel some of the science is questionable. What do you have to back up is essentially your research?
Well, there's many, many, many published papers here. The main published papers that the anti-lead proponents have are the papers coming out of UC Santa Cruz, which use lead isotopic compositional analysis. I have shown in my own peer-reviewed study, and I have presented to the Fish and Game Commission as well, numerous other published papers by other authors that show that you cannot use lead compositional analysis to draw a connection between lead in the blood of condors and lead ammunition. It's impossible to do that because of the nature of the manufacturer of lead ammunition. It's also a matter of the broad compositional range of lead ammunition. Simply, there are maybe 6 or 7 papers that talk about the lead compositional analysis. There's another 6 or 7 that talk about the broad isotopic range of lead in paint. There is evidence, and interestingly, the evidence comes out of the Smith Lab in Santa Cruz, which are proponents of a ban on lead ammunition, but they actually have published papers that show albatrosses eating lead paint and numerous albatrosses dying of lead toxicity from eating paint.
Could I ask Jennifer Fearing to address what you just said, Jennifer Fearing?
Yes, I would just argue that again, I would return to the fact that, you know, a recent consensus statement of 30 leading scientists reviewed all of the refereed published literature on this, and the scientific evidence is overwhelming. And it's been so compelling that, in fact, the California Department of Fish and Wildlife supports AB 711, the bill sitting on the governor's desk, as do the president and vice president of the Fish and Game Commission and a number of the state's leading hunters. So I really feel that the California legislature clearly has been persuaded that it's time to move past these kinds of disagreements that are fundamentally rooted in the NRA's objection in government taking any role in limiting the use of ammunition and guns, and do what's right for California, not just for wildlife, but also for humans. The CDC has identified that there is no safe level of exposure to lead for humans, and there have been numerous studies that have shown that the lead levels in humans who have ingested game meat that has been shot with lead ammunition are also putting themselves at risk of lead exposure. So we're really confident that the governor will side with his director of Fish and Wildlife and that we're going to move forward in California and set this precedent and hope that the rest of the country follows suit.
Well, I want to move forward and hear from listeners. Let me read first an email from Enrique, who comes down on the side of the NRA here and says, I hunt and have hunted for decades. Almost no lead remains in the carcass when the animal is hit. Most hunting bullets pass directly through the animal, leaving an exit wound. Let's see some evidence. Another listener writes on Facebook, this is Diana, it's silly to discuss AB 711 when other bills like SB 53 puts a chokehold on the purchase of firearm ammunition. Soon no one will be able to buy any ammo in California, let alone lead, because of the invasive bills circulating the floor. It seems California legislature wants to nullify the Second Amendment completely. And a listener writes on our website, how about a ban on lead and fuel for small planes? Every day, small planes fly over the peninsula spraying out exhaust that has lead in it. Many people are surprised to learn that fuel from small planes is not unleaded, but that is a fact. Let me go to your calls, and we begin with Paul from San Francisco. Good morning. Paul, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, my name is Paul Weaver. I'm in San Francisco. I'm a hunter and an environmentalist. And my point is that I'm very pro getting lead out of ammunition for whenever I shoot, whether for sport or for hunting, because we've made systematic changes throughout the state to reduce lead. We know it's danger, and this is just another step in reducing lead in our environment to protect humans and animals.
All right. I thank you for that editorial comment and appreciate your opinion. And let me get another caller on immediately, Sandy from Santa Rosa. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, I live in an area where there's a lot of hunters and a lot of my friends hunt. I do not. Also, some of my friends are just gun enthusiasts who load their own bullets a lot and do a lot of shooting. And what their issue has been, I've talked to a lot of these guys over the last several weeks about it, is more about the money than anything else. Lead is really cheap by comparison to all of the other materials needed. As you know, copper has gone way, way up. That's not really a great option. These guys load hundreds and hundreds of rounds, and they'll go out and shoot all kinds of these weapons at ranges on a Saturday afternoon for hours, and it gets really, really expensive. And the same thing goes for hunters. You might discharge, you know, quite a few rounds in practice and quite a few rounds in the field. And I think for a lot of these guys, they say it's really not about the environment for them as hunters. It's about the amount of money that it costs them do their loads.
I'm glad you brought that up, Sandy. And Don Saba, that is an argument we hear from some hunters, that it's an economic issue, too.
Well, it is an economic issue, because anytime you raise the cost of participation in any activity, you reduce the participation. So, you know, if you require the use of very expensive ammunition, you're going to reduce participation, and then that's going to reduce income to the state, because the hunters won't be buying hunting licenses, and the hunters won't be spending money on hunting activities. So, yes, it will reduce participation. It will reduce income to the state.
I want to bring another caller in here. Terry, thanks for waiting. Join us. You're on the air.
I wonder why hunters are leaving carcasses out there, and what kind of hunter leaves a carcass, and what kind of hunter leaves garbage out there and whatever that garbage is left after you shoot a gun. And why do they think it's theirs to do that? I'd rather a condor out there, one condor, than 50 hunters. And I don't understand. When I use parks or any part of California, and I live in West Marin, there's a lot of places out there that are wild. I don't leave anything behind. Don't leave it. Don't leave a carcass. If you can't get whatever you shot, you have no business being out there, period.
I think it's a reasonable question, Don Saba. Why are all these carcasses being left by hunters?
Well, the hunters are not leaving the carcasses out there. That's part of the anti-hunting propaganda being put forward by the lead ban proponents. Hunters don't leave their carcasses. They shoot them, they take them home, and they cut them up and they eat them. That's why they hunt. You know, this propaganda where, you know, you demonize the opposition by claiming they're making a holy mess out of the place is just totally wrong.
Jennifer Fearing, what about carcasses being left behind? What do you know from your perspective?
Thank you for letting me speak to that. As I understand it, hunters do dress their animals in the field, and they take the usable parts with them. And frankly, they're doing a service to scavenging species by leaving the rest of the carcass behind. The problem is that when that carcass is laden with, you know, bit pieces of lead, they're doing more harm than good. But I also want to address, because I didn't get to get in on the conversation about the price and availability, you know, we're also served well by academic research on that matter, and an internationally refereed science journal just in January, a complete analysis of the U.S. market with respect to lead-free and lead ammunition revealed there's no cost, product availability, or effectiveness barrier to the immediate adoption of lead-free rifle ammunition in the United States. And I should note that AB 711 would not limit the use of lead ammunition at target and shooting ranges. It only relates to the shooting of animals, and it will not be fully effective until 2019, giving the market full and ample opportunity to develop. And we know the leading ammunition manufacturers already produce the lead-free ammunition, and they will expand that market.
And again, Jennifer Fearing is the California State Director of the Humane Society of the United States. Don Saba is chemist and executive director of Sierra Bioresearch and a board member of the NRA, the National Rifle Association. And Mike is our next caller. Mike, you're on.
Hi. The gentleman from the NRA mentioned the red herring of birds eating lead paint. That issue has already been addressed. We banned lead paint. That issue is declining, and we should ban lead in bullets as well to address that issue and stop digging the hole of lead poisoning for wildlife and humans.
Well, Don Saba, he's right. In fact, it was proven to cause neurological damage in children, and lead paint is banned. Back in the 70s was banned.
Well, okay, he's actually wrong. You see, even though there may be a ban on lead paint currently, there are numerous structures out there in the field, old structures that have lead paint.
Oh, that's
on
true.
Them.
We did a whole show on that, in fact, yeah.
Okay. So you know very well that it's not a red herring. There is lead paint all over the place. Not only is there lead paint, but there are agricultural pesticides. There are legacy agricultural lead-containing compounds. You've got a lot of cattle poisonings out there, too, and we know cattle are not eating carcasses. Cattle are regularly poisoned, 1 to 2% of all cattle, and there's a huge amount of cattle out in California. They regularly get lead poisoning. Where are they getting that from? And when they die, the condors may eat them and get poison from them. No, there are sources of lead in the environment there, not ammunition, other sources. And the anti-lead ammunition proponents don't want us to investigate that. They want to ignore it. They want to say it doesn't exist. Why is that?
Well, it's not all, Jennifer Fearing, it's not all coming from lead ammunition, clearly. I mean, Don Saba's right that there are other sources.
The Humane Society of the United States would not object to removing lead from any sources in the environment that are causing harm to wildlife. But we know that lead ammunition is the single largest source, and this bill addresses that.
Well, let me read some more comments from listeners. We're getting a number of emails here. Dave writes, "This hunter supports the lead ban. Hunters want a clean environment as much or probably more than anyone. That said, I doubt seriously that lead from game hunting is affecting the condors. Hunters typically take home the game they kill rather than leave it in the field, and in any case, game is typically taken by one shot. Target shooting, skeet shooting, etc. is a far greater source of lead in the environment than hunting." And another listener writes, "Not only lead poisons our environment, but so much metal is wasted for a sport that is not utilitarian to our well-being." And Samantha emails the following, "How do other states handle lead ammunition? Where is California in the spectrum of legality?" Well, as I said earlier, California is one of 35 states now that require lead ammunition to be banned in condor areas, or in certain areas specifically, but it would be the first state in the nation to ban statewide. Let me get another caller on. And Brian, that's you. Hi.
Hi. I do shooting quite a bit. And when I shoot, I have to clean my guns. And I found that if I use pure lead bullets, it's a lot more difficult to clean. The majority of ammunition is copper clad. That means that when you do shoot, that it makes it easier to clean the gun because lead residue is not left inside the gun. And obviously when you shoot the animal with the copper-coated bullet, there is less contact between the lead inside the bullet and the animal. So my question is, is there scientific studies that show that the copper-clad bullet is less likely to poison animals? And secondly, perhaps we could come up with some technology which makes all bullets and all shot clad with copper so that it does not tend to poison the environment. That's all I want to say.
Okay, Jennifer Fearing, do we know how copper stacks up against lead? Do we have any data that you know of?
Well, certainly copper is far, far, far less toxic than lead. And also just the way the metals themselves work, copper is a much harder metal, and the way that it when it hits an animal, it actually mushrooms at the top. It stays mostly intact. Unfortunately, lead, part of it's the softer metal, and it fragments into hundreds and hundreds of pieces. And then when it's included in shotgun shells, obviously, there's hundreds of little pellets inside every shotgun shell, including several that ended up in a golden eagle who was found paralyzed earlier this year in Colusa County by game wardens. And I had the privilege of meeting that bird while she was spending 3 weeks getting $3,000 worth of intensive veterinary care, but unfortunately perished from respiratory failure caused by her lead exposure. So we know this is a problem. This bill is addressing it. We hope the governor signs the bill.
Well, we're coming toward the end of this segment. Final word from you, Don Saba.
Well, you know, let me follow up by saying that there have been extensive studies wherein the researchers attempt to poison wild game with lead fed with food, and they've had a very difficult time of doing with it. It is just not a plausible poisoning route that lead fragments or lead shot ingested by an animal with food would lead to poisoning. It is my experience in reading the papers and in my own laboratory experience that it is very difficult to poison an animal with metallic lead fed to the bird with food. On the other hand, if you feed lead in paint or lead in other industrial compounded residues, they will dissolve quickly.
We'll have to leave it there. It's going to the governor's desk, and we will follow the story. We thank Don Saba, chemist and executive director of Sierra BioResearch and member of the National Rifle Association's board, and Jennifer Fearing, who is state director of the Humane Society. This is Forum.